Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Just how radioactive do you need to be?
I'm glowing right now.
Right now, you ought to be.
Because I'm pregnant.
Forgot to tell you. Guess what?
I knew something was different about your face. I didn't know it was because you were whooping so much ass in that bracketology.
I'm not whipping ass,
or whether you were pregnant. I knew it was one of the two, but I'm happy for you. Either way, I'm not whooping any ass in the brackets.
That ace.
I'm getting my ace whooped.
You know what really crucified me, speaking that it's Easter coming up here pretty soon?
Yeah, I mean, great analogy.
SMU, this whole shebacle.
Yeah.
They find Alford. Ah. He comes back outside. Nope. That's his third miss today. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They called goaltending.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that ball was wide right.
It looked like it was way wide right.
SMU got me on Thursday, and then I want to say this screwed me yesterday.
Here we go.
The other day.
Last chance for Villanova, trying to get it to overtime. Ochefu, nope, it goes right to Lee, and NC State is headed to the Sweet 16.
Dang it. Virginia, yeah. Too.
There was just one little deal with Virginia, that Michigan State thing. I watched that game. Not real happy with the way that one went. I don't know why. I should believe more in Coach Izzo. This time of year, I mean, he's money.
But they lost to the Gophers during the regular season. It just would behoove me.
Yeah, then the Wisconsin Badgers, too.
Well, the Badgers are good.
I know, but still. It looks like Michigan State could they could roll a little bit on this one. I mean, they could keep going.
You know who's really good at picking these NCAA basketball games?
Jim Rich.
Jim Rich is number one when it comes to our Vikings little thing that we do on the side.
Unbelievable.
At 105 The Ticket, I can't find our brackets here on 105 The Ticket. Can you find them?
When you try to, it just doesn't seem to want to pop up right away.
Yeah.
It has different ideas about what's going on. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe some technical difficulties, but I can't seem to pull it up on 105 The Ticket.
So my championship game of Kentucky and Virginia is screwed.
You're half done there, and I thought you were Kentucky Duke, actually.
No, you're Kentucky Duke, aren't you?
I am.
No.
I thought you were. I thought you were as well. No. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there are a lot of people that are sunk basically because of the... Which brackets would it be? I guess it would be the West and then the South. That side of the country, I was just devastated. Oh.
The South?
Oh, Iowa State? Are you kidding?
Well, you had Iowa State at SMU going to Elite Eight against Duke. Yeah, the South didn't do me very well. The East is what got me bad with Villanova and Virginia.
I meant East, yeah. The Midwest and the West, I was pretty good. But yeah, the East and the South, I was...
West Virginia, though.
Got bombed.
West Virginia, what are they doing? Wichita State.
I have them. I've still got them in the running. I mean...
Look at you. Well, why do you have your points? You have no points.
Zero.
You're terrible.
I don't have anything. Look at this. Look how lopsided this is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
the left side of the computer is good. The right side, just awful.
Well, you're blown up. And then, of course, I have to go out and be cute and try to pull down Northern Iowa. I'm going to keep going with Northern Iowa.
You know what the worst
part? Great idea. That was a good idea.
What the worst part about you trying to pick these games are?
No, I don't, really.
No, I think you do. We talked about this already today. You're getting beat by Bob Sansevier. Somebody that I take.
I can't stand that either.
Everything I possibly can to beat him.
And you're just scratching past him too. By the way, I've been watching it very closely. You're past him. You're over the top, but not much.
I could, out of 100 people picking games, I could be 99 and be happy as long as Bob Sansevier is 100 because he gets so fired up. But Bob Sansevier was doing terrible.
Oh my God!
He's a show on before us. He's right behind me now. Yep.
I'm 10 points behind Jim Rich. Jeez. I mean, Chuck Foreman, the first former Viking to show up on this thing, 48 for Chuck Foreman. Darren Nelson, 47. Ed White, 47. Damn it. I had to get all cute.
Why were you getting cute?
Northern Iowa. I kind of had a hunch with Northern Iowa.
And how did that go?
Really good. Got beat by Louisville. I had him beating Louisville last night. What an idiot. Why'd I do that? And so Brad Johnson talking a lot of junk and everything else. He's ranked number 22. Not bad. He's got 45 points. I've got 40 points. Randall McDaniel, 45 points. Ben Holson, 44 points, one right behind him. Mm-hmm. And then I keep scrolling down. This is the one thing that keeps me going, though. Jeff Christie is ahead of me, 43. He was behind me the entire tournament until this last round. 43 points for Jeff Christie. He's ahead of me as well.
I'm just glad that we work with a bunch of weirdos, because other than Jim Rich, I'm beating everybody else on our 105 The Ticket staff page.
Yeah, I'm getting my ass kicked pretty good.
Why Jim Rich tied for second place. Whoever the Shaq is on 105theticket.com. Shaq's got 38 points. He's good.
I see Jim Rich at 50 points by himself.
That's, yeah, we're talking two different things. I'm talking the 105 The Ticket bracket. Okay, gotcha. You're talking about the Vike fans bracket with all the former Minnesota Viking players.
Well, yeah, Jim Rich is, he's kind of ruling the whole school right now. I mean, he's got a pretty nifty-looking bracket. And I mean, he had Iowa State as well. He had Villanova. He hasn't made many bad decisions, though.
I texted him earlier today.
I'm sick of him.
Welcome to the club. I texted him earlier today. I said, "You're crushing March Madness. Are you going to break at 5:15? He goes, "Why is that so surprising?" I said, "I'm not surprised. I'm proud that I know you." And he goes, "I'm really good at guessing, apparently." I said, "Are they educated or eeny, meeny, miny, mo guesses?" And he said, "Meeny, meeny, miny, mo."
Well, somehow I believe that, too, because he's got... Yeah, Duke winning all of it, but then also he's got Wisconsin getting past Arizona. He's got Wichita State in the Final Four. So he has them going past University of Kentucky. What? In the Midwest. Rich, he's going to be taking some big hits here soon, I think. He's got, look, it's not the worst pick in the world, but he's got Wichita State going to the Final Four ahead of Kentucky.
I don't know why I
didn't pick. He's got Wisconsin over Arizona.
Michigan State. What was I thinking? But at the same time,
I'm an idiot.
The Gophers beat him, and so it was hard for me to even pick. But Tom Izzo doesn't care about the regular season.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't. As long as he gets in the NCAA March Madness bracket and he's part of the March Madness deal, that's when he turns it on. He's brilliant.
The Ohio State Buckeyes to overtime. I saw that game. Ohio State shut them out, though, in overtime and went on to win the Big Ten championship. And, of course, Wisconsin, that's what I meant. But it was a great game. Michigan State should have won that game. They really should have won the Big Ten. Wisconsin came back and beat them up in overtime. But Michigan State always knows what the heck they're doing when it comes time for the tournament. Never, there's not a better coach in the tournament than Izzo.
I almost just want to give up. Some people, their brackets were busted and destroyed as of Thursday morning already with some of the games.
Iowa State.
I at least hung in there through the weekend, but as of now,
this is really bad.
I feel
bad.
I feel embarrassed for myself.
Yeah.
I feel more embarrassed for you, though.
Well, yeah, you should. I mean, why are you? You're more embarrassed for me.
I'm more because you're terrible.
Iowa State, I'm horrible. I pick University of Virginia. And I'm blown out of that. Out of the East now already. Nothing is working for me in the East. I'm shut down.
Wow.
Other side. I still have a chance to listen to me. Have a chance to still land three of the four Final Four. I have to get Duke there, Arizona, and the University of Kentucky. And guess what? If UK and Arizona show up and Jim Rich gets his ass kicked with Wichita State and Wisconsin, I have a pretty good chance. Those are worth a lot more points.
He will, for sure. I still have three of the four possibilities as well for the Final Four. Duke, Kentucky. But then my national championship.
It's screwed up because
Virginia,
you went to Duke.
Yeah, it's not good.
Dude, I might waltz right past you guys.
Yeah, you might, but you probably won't. You're so far down there. In fact, I'm so embarrassed with the way you pick basketball games, I'm thinking about asking the boss if I can switch you with Bob Sansevier.
Oh, and you deserve it. You deserve the upgrade. And I think you deserve to have the best people around you at all times during the day.
It's all in good fun.
And I would understand.
That's why I love March Madness.
I would understand.
Because we can just give each other the crap and forth.
I mean, Iowa State thing. I was just like, well, done. Done.
Yeah. Big show today because not only do we have 4.5 questions coming up at 4:30, but we're going to be joined by Brian Murphy, who spent all of last week down in Southern California talking to the Minnesota Vikings exclusive interviews, all of his stuff at Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. He talked to, there were only five Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater, Jerick McKinnon, Charles Johnson,
Kyle Rudolph,
and Bostic. Where's Cordarrelle Patterson in all this? We'll have Brian Murphy here for the hour.
This. He's Cordarrelle. He doesn't need this.
Anybody that needs that, it's him.
He and Mike Wallace are having oyster happy hours down in Miami, probably.
Mike Wallace wants nothing to do with him, and I don't blame him. Hardball starts today, too. Our everyday check-in for Mike Berardino. That guy's a prick.
Well,
remember,
yeah,
Tory Hunter?
Of course he is. Of course he is. That's what Tory said. I didn't say that.
2 weeks away from, 2.5 weeks away from opening day for baseball. The Minnesota Twins have 12 games after today left.
You and I landed a big deal today. We're going to be going down to the office downtown Washington to take on the entire audience, our listening audience. We invite all of you, every one of you, down to the office down in Washington, right next to Target Field, as we decided today that we'd go down there on Fridays anytime the Twins were in town and just go ahead and do a live broadcast.
And Leslie, who's in charge down there, who's awesome, gave you plenty of opportunities to tell your wife or your husband or your friends or whatever that, hey, look, I'm staying late at the office tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit late tonight. I'm at the office.
And it's perfect. It's perfect the way that goes.
Because that just says it all. And you wouldn't be like telling someone something false.
No,
I mean, you're
the
at
truth.
The office.
Yeah.
You're going to be staying late. You don't say you're working late. You say you're staying. You're going to be at the office a little late.
Do you know what the MLS stands for?
Major League Soccer. I can't even make myself say it.
Sure.
Major League Soccer.
Major League Soccer, but isn't it also, it's a housing thing too or something. But anyway, Major League Soccer announced today they're coming to Minneapolis to make a big announcement on Wednesday. Likely that Minneapolis-St. Paul getting the newest franchise for soccer. And it has not been awarded to the Minnesota Vikings. It's been awarded to Bill McGuire, who owns the United FC, along with Carl Pohlad, the son. What's the son's name?
Joe
Pohlad.
No, yeah.
It's Jim Pohlad. Along with Glenn Taylor. They're all coming together. There's going to be a big announcement
on
Wednesday.
You know.
You're Joe Blow.
Joe.
Wednesday at Target Field, making a big old announcement.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That also means they're going to put up another stadium, I'm sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
They'll put up another one.
We need another stadium.
Get another one. Pull the cranes over from that Viking thing and roll it down the street to the old fish. Was it like a fisher's market?
No, farmer's market. Not Fisher's Market.
Well, I thought we were in Seattle. You're sure it's not the Fisherman's Market?
Yeah, Fisherman's Wharf, you mean? Two completely different things. Darren Sharper going to prison for a while, but not long enough, I don't think. We'll talk to Debbie Lang from Hallberg Criminal Defense coming up here in just a couple
I've been
of minutes.
Bouncing some things off Marsh.
Yeah.
Marsh Hallberg.
Yeah.
Hallberg Criminal Defense. Mm-hmm. He's been giving me a little this, little that, little tidbits along the way. But it's been very good information. We'll ask Miss Lang how things are going.
Coming up at 5:42, we'll send you to the Progressive Insurance Northwest Sports Show this Wednesday through Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. In fact, ticket outdoors with Brian Zepp live from the Northwest Sports Show. 7
That's the Fisherman Market I'm talking about.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Zepp was in charge of that.
It's 6:12. We'll play NCAA March Madness Trivia. Two contestants play for a pair of tickets to see the Wild take on the Calgary Flames Friday at the X.
Got a packed show,
what else
man.
Do you want? I got a packed show.
Cold Omaha with Sam Ekstrom, who I lead in March Madness.
Do you really? Oh, yeah. Well, he got screwed. Yeah, I think he had Iowa State going all the way. We'll have to rub that in.
Yeah,
anybody
we'll make sure
obviously
of that.
Who's rated below us, that's when we rub it into them. But anybody that's rated above us, when we talk to them, we don't mention it. Deal?
Yeah, I don't want to give any credit for being ahead of me, which is everybody. So we won't do that.
Unless we're talking to each other, and then I can say, ha-ha, I'm crushing you.
You are killing me. What do you got, 44?
44
points?
On 105theticket.com, my total score is 35, and I can't even find you.
Mm. Can't be good, then.
Pete Wagner's got 35 as well. Benchwarmer Jill, who has no idea what she's doing. I helped her fill out her bracket. She's 1 point behind me. That's who wins.
Hmm.
That's who wins this stuff. Amelia Reno, who should know what she's doing. Star Tribune, Golden Gopher beat writer. She has 34 points.
What do you have again?
35. This is on 105
the ticket. She's only 1 point behind you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find her. I just keep clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking.
No, I can't be good.
Clicking and clicking.
And
you're
clicking.
You're getting beat by a guy named Fat Eric.
Don't say anything like that again. I mean, don't tell everyone who I'm getting beat by. Say I'm getting beat by, like, really, you know, some really big time basketball knowledge is out there.
Okay, you're getting beat by a guy by the name of Jimmy Legs.
We need to take a break. I'm pretty sure we need to take a break.
Where are you?
I don't know. I threw the same bracket for the 105, the ticket bracket for $1 million. $1 million at stake, and I didn't try any more than that, than I did. Same one that I threw at the Brad Johnson.
Oh, there you are.
Oh. Okay.
You're only ranked 111th.
Is that good?
No, it's not good.
What are you ranked?
I'm ranked 16th.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many points do I have?
You have 31 points.
And you got 35.
Yeah.
You're going to brag like that, 4 points ahead of me.
Crushing you.
Wait till this is over. I got a feeling. You might get upset.
No, I know. The Viking fan thing, and we got to take a break, but the Viking fan with Randall McDaniel, the ones you're talking about, sent me a note and said, hey, you want to do some bragging? You send it to me and, you know, talk some smack.
Sure.
And I said, no, I don't really want to. I don't feel confident enough.
Yeah, because this thing ain't over yet.
No, it's just
I have three that can still show up in the final four. If I do, I'm going to be putting some people on the...
So do I, though.
On the back burner behind me, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but you already have one side of your bracket done. I mean, because you, Virginia isn't going to be there, so you don't have a championship game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but oh my gosh.
Look at the time.
It's about that time. Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to talk about that MLS thing, that soccer thing that you were talking about.
And we'll have Debbie Lang on next from Carl Hubbard Criminal Defense. Yeah, she was just texting me.
Should be interesting.
About your guy.
My best friend?
Yeah. You played with him.
Yeah. Played against him.
Oh.
Not with him. Let's do that on Radioactive Sports.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf!
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Understood.
Holy shnikes.
Welcome one, welcome all. Radioactive Sports. Joining our conversation from Hallberg Criminal Defense, Debbie Lang. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, guys.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're fine. Are you able to concentrate trying to keep up with everything that's happening with that Darren Sharper case? Is your mind scrambled? Are you able to even talk right now at this moment?
I will do my best, but, you know, I needed to create a flow chart here. This is unbelievable.
It's like bracketology. Right, yes, yes.
Debbie, what I don't understand is this morning I got a little tweet deal to my phone saying Darren Sharper, 9 years in Arizona. And then the superstar and I were at the office, not this office, where we'll broadcast every Friday afternoon home game for the Minnesota Twins all summer long. It's awesome on Washington Avenue. I highly suggest you check it out.
I will, definitely.
Yeah, it's very swanky, very nice. Rich mahogany and all of the sorts.
Ooh.
But as we got done, I got another tweet on my phone saying that now Darren Sharper has plea bargained to all these different states and will serve a total of 20 years. And is that the case?
Yes. So what happened originally, entered a plea in Arizona to sexual assault and attempted sexual assault. And he was sentenced on the spot to 9 years. That is really rare that you're immediately sentenced once you plead. In the California case, he entered pleas of no contest to sexually assaulting two women. His sentencing in that case is scheduled for July. But his plea agreement, 10 years, he's been in custody for about a year. So it'll end up being another 9 years. But the sentences are going to run together. That's called a concurrent sentence.
Yeah.
Then he's also agreed in Nevada, he's going to be entering pleas with an 8-year sentence to be ran concurrently. And in New Orleans, he's pleading to multiple counts with a 20-year plea deal on the table. And this is also going to resolve yet another case, his fifth case, a federal drug conspiracy case as well. So they're all going to run concurrent, but the 20-year is the largest number, so that one's going to consume all of the smaller numbers beneath it.
Doesn't it seem like he got off easy in Miami?
Yes.
To me, it sounds like he should have been in jail for much longer than 20 years. And then you said it was odd that he was immediately sentenced in Arizona. Why was that? Why do you think that happened?
Likely because of the fact that he had struck deals in all of these jurisdictions. So it's just lining them up and imposing the sentences. Additionally, he's going to be serving his federal prison time first, which is better. You know, you don't want to serve time behind bars anywhere, but if you had to choose federal custody or state custody, federal is the way that people want to go.
Why so, Debbie? Let me stop you there.
Better facilities. It's really just the atmosphere, if you will.
Yeah, but I love federal prison. Sounds awesome.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, it's just getting them lined up, taking it down. And by the Arizona one, he did that all by video conference, FaceTime, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But he just video linked and entered his pleas there. And that was for a federal sentence. And so they get him sentenced there. So he's starting to serve that time to start chipping away at these sentences that he's going to be dealing with here.
So, I mean, these are guaranteed convictions.
Yep.
And they don't have to put victims through the ordeal of trial. Then
right.
It probably cuts down on expenses, and it probably cuts down on time.
Right.
So,
well, and it's very traumatic for a witness to have to testify at trial. So for these women to have to go into court and recount what happened, talk about the aftermath of what happened. Often, you know, some of these women are having to go through counseling. They're not able to sleep. It's very difficult to actually have to stand in a courtroom in front of strangers with Mr. Sharper there staring at you to answer questions and talk about these horrific events. So what he did by entering these pleas unquestionably will spare these victims even more trauma than that which they've already incurred. And he was looking at a life sentence. So without question, he got a good deal here.
He did.
He's 39. So after his sentence with a year of credit, he's going to be out of custody at age 58. He's going to have a lifetime probation, and he'll have to register as a sex offender as well. But it's a good deal for him, given
God,
all of
this. No kidding. I mean, seeing it today, just going, 20 years, it's it? I mean, we're talking to Debbie Lang from Hallberg Criminal Defense. How do victims feel about these? And I get what you're saying, where they don't have to go to court and testify against him and have him stare at him, at them, and he's a predator. How do these victims feel, though, that all of his, you know, his sentences get to run concurrently? I mean, to me, it seems like an easy break for a guy who's now a convicted rapist.
And, you know, we've been talking about how difficult it is for the victims, but, of course, there is the other side as well, and that is, you know, up until this point, up until he pled, he was presumed innocent, and that remains with him through trial. Unquestionably, the defense attorney would certainly claim that these women were groupies, that these women consented, that they weren't drugged. It sounds like in one of the cases, they had found a drug in a shot glass, a white residue in a shot glass that matched a prescription medication that Mr. Sharper had. But in the other cases, it doesn't sound like there was any direct evidence of the drugging. And so there's always a chance that a case can go to trial, and he could have been found not guilty. So really, it's the prosecutors that enter these agreements. They get the victim's input, but the prosecutors decide, all right, what's the likelihood of success at trial versus what are we willing to offer this guy, and the negotiations that happen with his defense attorney.
I just find it amazing that he could run those together. I don't know how that's possible. And we heard everything about, you know, Louisiana being a pretty tough state. If he'd been just convicted there alone, he faced, you know, hard labor also in the state of Louisiana. But I don't know what it took or how much money, probably because he was running out of money at this point. That probably forced his hand a little bit in that regard, because he probably needed to cut the bleeding a little bit and just start serving something.
Well, in terms of money, I mean, at least here in Minnesota, defense attorneys are retained on flat fees.
Okay.
So, for example, when we're hired, we are hired start to finish in a case. So we never have a client making a decision based upon money. Do I have to pay the lawyer more money to go to trial? We want to focus on the client's best interests. So we do fixed fees, get it up front. That way our clients never have to worry about that. How his attorney was doing it, who knows? But unquestionably, these women are going to sue him civilly. So any money that he may have left, they're going to get their hands on it. So I would hope that his decision was not based upon finances. I hope it's, you know, him acknowledging the wrongdoing that he did and wanting to take responsibility. And the reality is, these were great offers. So he wanted to take advantage of a great offer that he got.
Debbie Lang from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Every website that I'm reading, all these sources that I'm going to, are all telling different stories. And TMZ now is saying that Darren Sharper, who will be sentenced to 20 years in Louisiana for raping three women, will only serve 9 of those years behind bars. Media reports saying Sharper will serve 20 years for the Louisiana rapes are incorrect. In fact, law enforcement is telling TMZ that Louisiana prosecutors have agreed in the plea deal. After serving 9 years, Sharper will get credit for the remaining 11 years while free on probation.
Huh, I have not seen that report. Needless to say, they're all going to keep buzzing about this. Mm-hmm. Once he's sentenced, we're going to definitively know. Once he puts in that plea, they'll state the terms of the plea agreement on the record.
Right.
Because originally, there were some reports that nothing was concurrent, that it was consecutive, and then people aren't looking at good time. Worst case scenario for him, if the 20 years really is 20 to serve, he'll be out at 58. Still an amazing deal.
It really
if he
is.
Gets good time off of that, you know.
I mean,
it's
really,
an even better deal.
Although he probably will get out with no money because of what these other. I mean, don't. I'm guessing there must have been some negotiating a process with all of these women as to whether or not they'd like to make sure that he's out soon enough for them to receive their money. Will they be able to receive money from his wealth and his estate beforehand during this 20 years or so? They would be able to.
Yep. Okay. If they're smart, they're going to initiate their civil lawsuits sooner versus later because they don't want, you know, his family, anyone else who has access to his estate to dwindle those funds down. So they're going to file some civil cases very quickly now that he has admitted to the wrongdoing. Some of them may have already initiated those civil cases.
Isn't that double jeopardy, though, in some way? I mean, because double jeopardy is something that I'm not sure, I'm not all up on my legal terms, but he's like, he's already pled guilty. How can you take him to the cleaners then at the same time monetarily?
Yeah, well, and double jeopardy has to do with punishing someone through the court process more than once. Here we're talking about criminal consequences with if he were, for example, to be convicted or sentenced multiple times. After he serves this, the judge decides, I want to give him more time. That would be double jeopardy. You can't add anything on there. But when we're talking about a civil lawsuit, that is separate. An example that people can think of is if, for example, Mike got mad at you, Ben, and he punches you in the face right now.
Happens all the time.
So let's go through this really slow so I can get all this written down. I've already done this.
So Mike pops you, Ben, and he's then charged with assault in the criminal arena. You can also sue him civilly for that nose job that you'll have to get to put it back in place.
Awesome.
And for any other damages
again,
that you may have.
What about the rest of him? I mean, who's going to reattach the arms and legs? I think it's an amazing case, Debbie, is that he got off with 20, as it appears anyway. But he'll
be out
of
15. It might even be less.
Yeah. It could be less.
My God.
Depending on what happens in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Stays in Vegas, but 3 to 8 is what I've been told, so that would be served concurrently with the rest of them. So,
The California case, for example, he's going to get a 20-year sentence, but you only serve 10, and he's got a year credit. So the California case, although it's a 20-year sentence, that takes it down to 9 years. So it's yet to see if the New Orleans case will be structured similarly, where he'll get a substantial amount of good time and then the credit to bring him down even lower.
No, okay. That's what TMZ's been reporting.
Well, the federal side is
TMZ,
what you said.
The
federal side is what you said he would serve first. How much state time does he have in the other facility?
Well, again, it may end up that he will serve all of it federally if the state sentences are smaller. Mm. So we have to see in New Orleans, he has both state and federal sentences. So we have to see how they're going to impose this 20-year deal for those, because the Arizona sentence is federal, the California sentence is state, and the Nevada sentence is a state sentence. So we have federal coming from Arizona and part of New Orleans. Okay. So we have to see exactly how that shakes out and how it's pronounced in New Orleans.
Very interesting.
Have I confused you yet?
No, not really. Not
confuse me.
I mean, whenever we talk about Darren Sharper, it's pretty confusing because it's so complex because he was a bad, bad man.
Absolutely.
But Debbie Lang from Hallberg Criminal Defense.
Thanks,
thank you very much.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Have a good day. I find that just amazing that he got off that way. I just can't believe. You know what I'm hoping for now is that it appears that he's going to have to do 20 years.
I think 9 years.
I'd like to see it 20, but I'd like to see 10.
Yes.
Go ahead and spend the first 10 in federal and then take the other 9 years in state.
And then put him to death by firing squad.
He may not make it through state. Who knows? That could be a little tougher dwelling, you might say, if he has to go down to the state pen. Regardless, we're going to go and we're going to do our own little thing because we're free men. So we're going to do the 4.5 questions at 4:30, and we're going to do them all very well. And we're going to do our complete time on that if we just get back in time. Let's do that now. Radioactive Sport.
The postseason is so different, and we've got a long ways to go, and we got to worry about just getting there. But we're playing well, and it was a big win for us against these guys. It's always a tough opponent.
Big Zach Parise, beating the Blues, did it again.
Just dominated them.
6-3. That's right. Just another beatdown. Dubnyk just staying in there, hanging in there. Probably going to keep playing him because, I mean, the guy just continues to amaze.
Said he's not tired. He ended up buying a house that Zach Parise owned in Edina instead of having to stay in a hotel. Dubnyk and his daughter and his wife.
Amazing. Yeah. They were living in a hotel this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Well, I think he may be here for a while. If they know what they're doing, I think they'll probably get him on contract and inked for a nice long extended deal. I'm quite sure of that. But
I'm not sure he's done enough to deserve that.
Yeah, me either. Me either. You know what? Now that you put it that way.
The jury is still out.
Brian Murphy, everybody. Pioneer Press and our good friend of the show. And I'm with you. I think he should prove himself. Oh, jeez.
Well, Chuck Fletcher said he doesn't want to talk to him about a contract extension right now. He's dealing with enough that's going on.
Well,
so,
yeah.
The goal is he a one-hit wonder, though?
He's playing awfully well for a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said maybe thought that a month ago, but, you know, 30 games in.
Everywhere else, he hasn't been very good. This is his fifth NHL team, even an AHL team, too, I believe.
We're not talking a five-year extension last year. Here, but when you rescue the season from the burning flames,
talk about earning your contract. He hasn't missed a game since he's been here.
Yeah, Darcy Kemper looked really good down the stretch last year, though. How's he doing this year?
Well, he's 22 years old.
He was okay. I mean, Brizgalov was there, too. I think even Backstrom was in for one or two. No, it was him and Brizgalov coming down the stretch and in the playoffs. But Kemper had to take a few games off. This guy's still, God, he keeps rolling along. And so are we. Four and a half questions.
So basically talking about the Minnesota Wild and that 6-3 win on Saturday at the X in St. Paul, which they haven't done. They haven't won very many games at home, by the way. But remember, before this five-game stretch of these really tough teams, I think both of us, all three of us, were talking about what is success and what is failure. We both said, all three of us said, if they win three out of these next five, that's success. Well, they did that. Are you guaranteeing a deep Wild playoff run now? After the Wild have beat these teams that are the top in the Western Conference in the NHL.
Well, I don't know about you, Brian, but I mean, I think that anything can happen in the playoffs. Anything can happen. I mean, they can go as far as anybody because they've proven they can stay with anyone, beat anyone, home or away. But they also could be that team that just, you get there, you're out of gas, you don't know which end is up for whatever reason, and another team comes out and they're ready for you, and they send you home sooner than you wanted to go home. I've seen that happen a lot in the playoffs, too, but I really feel good about our chances. You know, we're in. I think we're going to probably do some damage in the playoffs.
I do think it's hard to say deep run. I mean, you know, they haven't clinched a berth at all. They're still the three-game losing streak away from not getting in at all.
Yep.
They played well against the Blues. They played well against Nashville. I like their chances in a seven-game series, but I still see in a seven-game series a team like St. Louis grinding them down to a nub. Now, that being said, I like them going in hot, and the NHL in recent years has not become the top, is no longer the top-heavy conference team that it was, it's a league that it was. I mean, where you had the Detroits, the Dallas, the Colorados, you knew these teams, especially in the West, they were not going to get upset very often in the first round. Now it's kind of more of a free-for-all. And I can see the Wild being the hot team going in, handling that. But, we had a long way to go before I wouldn't even be surprised if they get in and they're gone in five games.
So, yeah, no, could easily happen. I mean, they're the hottest team in the NHL since the All-Star break, but we still have almost a little under a month to go until the playoffs even start. So there's a long time to cool off here yet.
10 games, but I like their, they're in sad sack Toronto. I mean, Toronto's the epicenter of hockey. It's sort of, and they've been imploding all season. It's sort of an amazing market where they just continue to charge everybody, gouge people, and still fill the building because it's Toronto and it's hockey. But they better take care of business there. Then they go to Long Island the last time they'll ever play in the Nassau Coliseum, an old dump of a building, but a lot of history. And the Islanders are playing really well. So again, two defining kind of road games. They get a couple days off, then they got back to back home games.
Yeah.
I think Dubnyk's playing all four.
I'd rather them play on the road right now where they just don't seem to lose, though, than play at the XL Energy Center where they've struggled the last four or five games.
They got to take care of business at home soon.
They're on a roll. They're still on a roll. They have not come off that roll for...
Like a caramel roll?
Since a caramel roll, like a Tootsie roll, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like a whole roll of Tootsie Rolls.
Question two, Adrian Peterson had his 30th birthday over the weekend. He celebrated by riding into his party in Texas on a camel. Literally was riding a real-life camel. He was dressed like an Arabian king or prince or something like that. Had the headdress on and everything. Good.
Did he have a...
Humble.
Like, when you
humble.
Ride a camel, yeah. like when you see jockeys ride a horse at like the Kentucky Derby, did he have a switch?
Mm-mm. No switch. That I could see. I couldn't see his right hand in the picture. I see what you did there, though.
You don't want to whip a camel.
No. That would be... Horrible.
Then Rick Spielman asked Peterson's agent, Ben Dogra, to meet this week. The owner's meeting at Phoenix, Dogra said no. Does this remind you of like a relationship breakup where your ex is doing all sorts of things to prove that they're happy, even though they have no leverage and they're just making a fool of themselves?
I wouldn't call Ben Dogra a fool at all.
But Adrian Peterson looks like a fool to me riding into his birthday party on a camel.
Yeah, he looks very humble. It should be noted, too, in the NFL owners' meetings out in Phoenix today, Rick Spielman met with reporters and has basically said the same thing. He's not backing down at all from the fact that
no. We
expect Adrian Peterson to be here in 2015 at training camp. He's going to be a part of our team. They are in this for the long play, I think. They're either going to hold out and leverage a first-round pick if somebody wants to pony it up, or they're going to, as we've said, I think, here recently.
Oh, yeah.
You go explain, Adrian, why you shouldn't come back and play for $13 million.
Mm-hmm. Right? I think they have all the leverage in the world. I really do. And the more that the people like Dallas saying we're not in, you know, in negotiating with Adrian Peterson because his price tag is too high. I mean, they've said that now. The more people who come out and say that makes it that much harder for Adrian and company to land.
Well, in fairness to Adrian too, I mean, if you want pharaohs and camels and
a 10-foot ice castle too,
being fed grapes by fans. Wenches. That's a lifestyle you need to maintain.
Well, yeah,
so.
it's been pretty well documented too, the harem and everything else.
Trade him to the Jaguars.
He gets
he's going to go somewhere.
He gets it.
He gets it.
Yeah, he's a douche.
And he thinks he's going to get well paid. That's why he can go out and rent a camel and a really nice costume and ride in high fashion on his birthday. That's what we all do, right?
Mm.
So we get a camel and make a nice big entrance.
I want to see his 40th birthday party, 5 years out of the league.
Yeah.
Creditors riding in.
Yeah.
Government vehicles with subpoenas.
You can only hope that he would have three wise men ride in on camels right now to tell him not to do these things anymore.
The three wise
three
men.
Wise
you're going to take this on, huh? Is that with frankincense and myrrh?
We're coming up on Easter here, so we're getting a little religious.
Well, that's a little
you
more.
You want to keep going?
That's the downer holiday, though, us Catholics. The things went wrong that week.
Yeah.
It was not a good week.
But it turned out being the best of the holidays. I mean, you got to go through the weekend, and then
you have to wait 3 days.
Raising from the dead is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, nailing a guy to the cross,
well, that's
too,
a bummer.
Is a little rough.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. Question three, former Packer Saint Viking Darren Sharper, we talked about this already, pled guilty to sexual assault and attempted sexual assault in a plea deal with Arizona prosecutors. Immediately sentenced to 9 years in prison this morning, and then Arizona, California, Nevada, Louisiana all teamed up this afternoon, supposedly a total of 20 years all total. He pled guilty and will serve 20 years with all the above states and cases. We talked to Debbie Lang from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Do you think Sharper got what he deserved, got off lightly, or that he deserves to die behind bars?
I don't think he deserves to die behind bars. I'm not taking up his defense or anything about here.
Oh, so you're a Sharper supporter now,
huh? I'm a Sharper backer.
I see how this goes.
I've always been about drugging and raping women.
So he got what he deserved, or he got off lightly then?
He got off what the prosecutors allowed him to get off with. I mean, he got a good defense. I mean, he's got a well-heeled defense team. I think, as your previous guest, defense attorney said, I mean, these women don't want to get up in court and have to relive this. If they did, they could demand that. Could say, no, I want my day in court, and I want him convicted, and I want him to do, 50 years.
In each state. in each state, I have to think that there was a time frame where they all of these women must have had some correspondence, and they all decided pretty much on the same thing, to let this go by, file civilly, and just keep moving on, rather than to just keep, you know, keep this drawn out and to keep it going forever and ever and ever and stalling it out. I think they must have said, let's just do this in.
You get convictions all across the board. You get admittance. Yeah. Well, I think no contest, but it's essentially saying you can nail me, so I'm not going to fight this. And then civilly, they're going to take him to the cleaners. And you know, 20 years from now, if he does, you know, gets out of prison, he's going to have no name, no money, and forever be known.
He'll be named rapist.
There you go.
Rapist. I mean, that's a heck of a name.
That's not something you want to be carrying around.
No. He would have to announce to his whole new little neighborhood, wherever that would be, that he's a sex offender.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be like, Jesus from the Big Lebowski pounding on the door. I think the definitive where this guy went wrong story is coming soon.
I think so, too.
And
sure.
I just would love to know where he pivoted to the dark side.
All the money in the world, good looks, dresses nicely, and then he's out there drugging and raping
women. It's a sickness. That's what he wanted. That's what he preferred over something just regular. You know, not the dating scene by any means. The thrill of the chase, maybe. The thrill of the hunt in this case.
Well, question four. After watching basketball games this weekend, you both did, right? Duke, Kentucky games. Did you watch Duke and Kentucky?
I did.
I mean, they didn't play each other, but you watched them separately.
I watched the Duke game. I watched our guy. Jones.
Okay, so the guy who the who shall not be named, obviously.
That guy.
But you didn't watch Kentucky game?
I did not watch Kentucky. I watched Duke versus San Diego State.
Okay, that was a good game, too. But the other guy, Carl Anthony Towns in Kentucky, I want you to watch him. They're probably going to go 1-2 in the NBA draft this year.
Right.
I think I might be switching over to Carl Anthony Towns. Like him a little bit better. My brother's a huge Duke fan. He was telling me about the who shall not be named, the guy from Chicago. We don't say his name just in case.
Okay, no problem.
Don't even think the name, okay, yeah. Brian Murphy?
Well, Grant Hill was pretty high on him. He did that game. He did the commentating that game, and he could not say enough good things about that guy.
Yeah. But he doesn't play defense, really, and he cannot hit free throws. He can't shoot unless he's right back there. But the thing is the only reason he scores points and does get some rebounds is because he's physically a monster compared to the rest of the college kids that they're playing. Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns, though, can hit free throws. He can shoot. He can play defense. He can block. He's got energy. He's running the floor. I like him a little bit better. He's protecting the rim. Out of those two players, which would you rather have? Even though you didn't watch the other guy.
I haven't seen too much of the other guy. I've been reading about him this whole time.
But would you rather have offense around the rim or a guy who can do everything else?
I'd take the better rounded, the most balanced, well-rounded player. But from what I saw against San Diego State, Duke versus San Diego State, that guy, that kid, the tall one, he did pretty well.
It's like 20 shooting. Points in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, which is a big deal.
He had 10 after the first quarter, and they just sat him down
for a while. Can't shoot free throws, though.
Well, he doesn't
play defense.
He plays defense.
Really well.
No.
Kind of reminds me of Peck.
He looked pretty good out there. He runs a lot better than Peck. I think he's incredible. His footwork, not that I would know, but certainly Grant Hill said his footwork is absolutely stellar. He's smooth as silk. And the shots that I saw him taking, I mean, just these little like baseline hooks, they were going in.
Offensively, he's really good.
He was 8 out of 10 in the first quarter.
Yeah, he's really good.
From the field.
Foul him, though, and you're screwed. Absolutely screwed. Half question. We're running out of time. Give me a one-word answer about what you think about this guy named Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press. He was in California last week, spent time with the Minnesota Vikings exclusive interviews. We'll get some great information out of Brian Murphy, who's coming up next. One word to describe Brian Murphy from TwinCities.com.
Sharp.
Dressed man?
That's three words.
Oh.
Just sharp. Dressed and just a sharp man. Sharp. Not sharper. That's a whole different man. Can we leave it at that? I don't want to have to go into the sharper thought process
on
a day like today where we know everything about another guy.
Yep.
Murph's a sharp, just sharp. Yeah. That's all we're doing. Radioactive Sports.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
What is Donkey? No.
Everybody loves our Brian Murphy.
Wow. You know, Brian needs to shave a little bit. He's about 7'5", too. Wait, that was Chewy. The radioactive sports mascot. But Brian Murphy is here in studio with us. And he's willing now to delve into all different types of golden nuggets that he's had saved back for us for quite some time now, having had a chance to visit the mother lode of training centers in this country, in Southern California somewhere. Brian?
Santa Ana?
Mm-hmm. The Trade Winds.
Orange County.
Wow, so...
the O.C.
Oh, yeah.
And what took you that way? I've been told there are a lot of Vikings that train out there in Southern California, apparently.
You know, frankly, I got a text from Kyle Rudolph throwing the hook.
He
invited me out there.
Wow, does that normally happen?
That happens all the time.
Stop it, you liar.
Pro players constantly call writers and say, come on out.
Why did that
hang
happen
with us?
What do they want from you?
I think, you know, I'd written a couple things about him in the offseason, but I think he's taking on sort of more of a leadership alpha male role. And I think he recruited five or six guys to come out there and do this 2 week. I mean, everybody's working out at this time.
So is that where their agent is?
It's where his agent is. His name, who is also named Brian Murphy, out in Laguna Beach.
Must be a good guy.
So there's that card to play too. But he had Teddy Bridgewater and Charles Johnson and Jerick McKinnon and Brandon Bostic, the newly signed. And I think he wanted to get some pub for just like, hey, look, I'm trying to get these guys. We're going to do a little bonding. We're going to do some working out, some ball games, some barbecues.
Sure.
Enjoy the sun, defrost from winter. Doesn't this look good? And by the way, you want to come and hang out, so why not? So that's what I did for two and a half days yesterday.
Number one, I think he has to have an awful lot of trust and relationship with you, which he must have had over the last couple of years, I'm guessing.
Well, there's going to be an unabridged version that's going to come out. He's probably not going to be happy. No.
Stop it.
No. It was great access and it was
fantastic.
Straight up, you know, sit down interviews.
Did he invite you over to his house that you, because you have ocean views and you were painting this thing that, like, the way, where he lives.
I'm going to leave a few tricks in the
Beach
bag.
Or something
and,
like that?
Laguna Beach. He lives up Pelican Hill Golf Course. McKinnon crashed with him is still out there with him right now.
Really?
Those two guys have gotten really tight.
Hmm.
The other four guys stayed at this very swanky, all-inclusive, high-end, upper-crust condominium complex that has this workout facility on top, and this thing has got a 25-yard football field. It's got cabana-style pools. It's got an arcade, a rec room, two-lane bowling alley. Oh, by the way, all the standard weightlifting and all that kind of equipment, and a gorgeous view of the Santa Ana Mountains. And the weather, of course, was 75 to 80. With no humidity.
So many questions that
so
I want to ask you.
We have a nice setup here, and that should help us get to the next segment. We're going to take one more quick break and come back, but he has set the picture now.
On the tee.
We have all the everything is teed up and ready to go. The next segment, he's going to tell us about what he knows, what he found out when he got there, how these guys train, and who he likes and who he hates. Apparently, you know, Kyle Rudolph is one that he doesn't care for. That's why there will be a book, apparently. There will be a book.
A tell-all.
So come on back. Brian Murphy tells all next.
Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.